Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
What's up, everybody?
What's good, family?
And welcome back to another episode of Is this going to cause an argument? You got to wait until I get ready to say it.
Well, you were taking too long.
No, you be jumping too fast. Right? You be jumping too fast.
Got our second guest ever, officially.
Officially.
I'm excited.
So this is a weekly podcast where I, Angel Akita Moore, also known as That Chick Angel, hosted with her husband of almost 13 years. Well, why am I talking about myself in third person? My husband of almost 13
People
years.
Know what I'm dealing with.
Tell them who you are, baby. You'll got nervous, so I was going to slap you.
I'm a husband of almost 13 years. Marcus Tanksley, the other host of This Is Gonna Cause an Argument.
And we talk about everything, whether it be current situations, whether it be relationships.
Whether it be family that you don't like, family that you do like.
Or something that pissed Marcus off, pissed me off or him off. We're going to talk about it. And today we have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful couple that to allow us to interview them and be a part of this conversation.
Yeah, they are friends, but it's those friends is like, I don't want to bug them, though.
The newlyweds, Pete Chapman and Kelly McGrary.
Nice. We need like a round of applause button.
Yes, clap it up. How y'all doing?
Hi.
What up?
Y'all holding together? Y'all doing all right?
We're doing all right.
You doing all right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's many, many blessings to count, obviously, but all of that, you know, this is a major moment. This is a major moment that we are all living in and through, and it's bringing up a lot. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. Mars like, yes. I feel it.
We forewarned you though. We told you this would happen.
I have to say, Kelly, because I follow you like the other millions of people that follow you on Instagram, and you answer people who might be very like contrary or, you know, just have a different point of view. You answer them in such an
loving grace.
Yes, graceful light.
Yeah.
While also slicing their heads off. There was one word that you had put, I can't even remember. I had to read it 3 times to see if I could pronounce it correctly. And I said, this Kelly just told this woman off and she don't even realize it. But it's always out of a place of like, I'm gonna educate you. You can see my previous post. You can understand better. I'm just like, I don't know how she does it. I just be like, all right, I'm about to be the queen of the block. That's all I can do. But yes, I have to point that out. And you know, everybody, go ahead.
You call it grace. Others may call it passive aggression. You know, it's 6 of one, half a dozen of the other.
No, it's grace. It's grace. And Pete, well, how are you? You were like, Kelly, I'm gonna let you speak for us.
You know, gotta pass the baton. I'm doing well. It's a, you know, interesting time like no other. Mm-hmm. I always watch the news, but now I'm watching it. But if I was watching it 24 hours a day before, I'm now watching it 25 hours a day.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's, I think it's, you know, hopefully a hopeful time because there's more engagement than ever before.
Absolutely.
And yeah. People are really, I mean, it just goes to show, like, the power of video. Because as much as it doesn't do, you could beat the mess out of somebody and they'll act like it didn't happen.
Yeah.
You know, when it's just video after video after video after video, which is unique to everybody, well, a larger amount of people focusing on it. You know, it feels like we're on our way to some change, but people got to stay on point and active, and, you know, vote.
Yeah,
absolutely. It is that level of consistency that I feel like we failed as a people to continue in the past. Mm-hmm. It's like something happens and they always say, you know, we always tell each other we have such a short attention span because something will happen. Everybody will be on it for like 3 weeks. And then all of a sudden they're back to TikTok or whatever they're doing.
That is one of the incredible things about this moment, which I think makes that video even more powerful. And look, we are all artists and we are contributing, I think, in a very meaningful way when we do our art to the conversation. But there is something about the fact that there ain't no content right now and there's nothing to switch a channel to, you know? And so the impact of that video or the series of videos over the course of a very short period of time, which were unfortunately no different than so many videos we have seen over the last 5, 6, 10, 15, 175, 2,000 years.
We've been watching that video since they got cameras.
Yes.
Right.
92, Rodney King.
Yeah.
68.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so it is really, it's really amazing to have this moment of pause where it's like, yeah, we're gonna sit with this. We're gonna sit with this story in this video and reckon with it in a really, hopefully, meaningful way.
Right. Yeah. Even that goes Emmett Till. At least we have a photographic proof of the brutality.
Right. No, it is. There's something you can feel like a shift for the first time.
Yeah.
Like before, you know, with all the other deaths that have happened prior to now, there was a definite, like, you know, jolt that happened. But there's something about this one. One, I would say, and this actually is a perfect segment into our next segment, which is what's got you in your feelings. A segment that me and Marcus do to discuss, like, what's got us feeling some kind of way and what's got us feeling good. Something that actually has had me feeling good during this like dark time that I know that we're going to come out of, is seeing the support from all over the world.
Yeah.
And not just because you think about, you know, you think about the fact that we have had to live in a society as Black Americans where we've had to try to thrive and strive in spite of what we know other people might think about us or how people feel about us. Right. And it's just like it's a thing that we just do. It's not even a thing we acknowledge half of the time. We just do what we do. So it was so. It made me aware that I didn't know what it felt like to be cared about by so many people.
Yeah.
And you know what I'm saying? And that it hit me. I didn't realize that I had missed that feeling until I saw all around the world people caring about me. And I was like, oh, I didn't know that I needed that.
I had a similar moment before, you know, you referring to the video that I put up, because I had a similar moment where, it was two different videos I saw where there were like, I don't know if it was a chief or a captain of police, and they joined in with the crowd and they started marching and chanting and giving speeches, joining in with the crowd. And I was like, that's like tear, like that's the type of stuff that will break me down on top of seeing everybody across the world. When you see Syria, Iran, Iraq, people holding up Black Lives Matter, I'm like, oh my God. And it really feels like the first time it's like, no, so we're not in this alone. We're not by ourselves on this. People do see it, and we're not talking to like a brick wall.
Mm-hmm. I saw Kelly. I did not mean to like yank you into a bit of emotion, but that's the one thing out of this that I did not realize I needed until I saw it. I was like, Oh, is that what this feels like for someone to be like, it's, you know what, little sis, we care about you. We care about your family. It's not just you by you all by yourselves trying to fight. It's not David and Goliath. Like, you are now a giant too.
Yes.
We have you on our shoulders. You get what I'm saying?
Right. Yep.
So what's got y'all, if there's anything, what's got y'all feeling good?
I mean, for me, it's very much the same thing. I think that like a week ago, literally a week ago, we went on a social distance family hike with our other family members down here. And then we came home to watch the news and it was just like, you know, Saturday afternoon. So that was only 1 week ago. And that day I was like, I really was feeling down because I thought, what's going to be different this time? What's going to be different this time? And the consistency of the engagement of people who don't just look like us, you know, and the meaningful conversations we're having around the work that we can do is that it is really different. And that really does give me hope. It really does. And it's funny. You know, when you were talking about the international response, Pete and I and our good friends Aya Cash and Josh Alexander, we traveled to Paris for New Year's. And one of the things that we did was take this Black Paris tour. Mm-hmm. And this is going to sound as bougie as it can be, but
more than just traveling to Paris.
I know. I'm like, you are bougie. We went to Paris New Year's.
Like, we went to Palmdale.
We went Lancaster for New Year's.
Yes, I know. I know. But look, it's going to get worse. I've been to Paris many times.
Oh, I'm sure of it. Go ahead.
And I had never encountered, we did this, a Black Paris tour. Mm-hmm. And our tour guide did not just take us to the sites of historic events in Paris, you know, that involved Black people, but he was breaking down like France's particular strange relationship to racism and colonialism in a way that I have never ever heard any Europeans reckon with European racism before.
Oh, wow.
It's like something is different. Something is different. There is a shift in consciousness taking place, and that gives me hope. That gives me tremendous hope.
Yeah, yeah. Pete, anything you want to add that's got you feeling good? Because we all know what's got us feeling bad. Like, I don't think anybody has any any other thing. But is there anything that's got you feeling like, you know what?
Pardon if I'm just looking, this dog is digging, is trying to hide a bone everywhere in this room. So that's
it's
why
all I'm good.
you know, all the stuff I used to have that I used to use when I used to work, just laying around on the floor. you know, I'm like, don't rip my papers up.
Right.
But you know, I think that I think the positive, when you think about returning to the world and whatever normal will be moving forward, you know, it looks like, I feel like we're all gonna go back to that with new skills and a new outlook, you know what I'm saying? But like, you know, I was talking to a buddy of mine, I was like, yo, like after this, it's like, he was go to everybody's house. You know what I mean? Like everybody like mastering their cooking game. You know, dudes like cigars. Marcus, I don't know if you smoke cigars, but you know, I think you do.
I got some Cubans right here beside me, man.
Let's link up and do that. You know what I mean? And like, let's just chop it up and like, and enjoy each other.
Yeah.
In ways that, you know, particularly in LA too, I think it's kind of like, you know, I see you on your birthday because otherwise I don't drive to that part of town. You know what I mean?
Right. Right. You're right.
I think there'll be more like community and maybe, hopefully more honest conversation around many things because you know it's a what you kind of see, there's so many different viewpoints around this, around race, even around racism within the Black community, that I think it's important that on all levels, people begin to kind of share where they're coming from, so there can be a unified understanding, even if folks are approaching it from different angles.
Yeah. Absolutely. No, yeah, I think there's definitely going to be a different way that we socialize now that we've been deprived of it, mm-hmm. that it's no longer going to be just, I had texted you. Yeah, how you been? But like actually wanting to put hands on like people and look in their face, actually feel their like a vibe between one another and not just be okay with, oh yeah, I saw what you were doing on Instagram. Right. That was great.
Right. Right. Before it's like it was taken for granted. Oh, I can see them anytime I want to.
Yeah.
I'm going to make it that one time of year. Yeah. You know, and it'll be fine.
Right. Well, we're going to lighten it up with the topic of today. And I think you all are going to bless so many people because we can't bless them in this way. Marcus and I, as we said before, we've been married for 13 years almost, been together for like 16. So the dating scene of the 2000s, we don't really, or the where we're at in 2000s, we don't really know what that was like.
We only know what we hear.
Yeah, what we hear. And like, we've got a lot of friends that are just like, God dang it, am I ever going to find somebody? So I want to kind of talk about two different things with you all is like, what was it like coming out of the dating scene? And what has it been like to be a married couple in this time? Not just in this time, like, I don't mean like politically and socially, but like, I feel like it's so different. Me and Marcus.
Out of the like, let me go get her number and we're going to go out on a date versus, you know, there's a lot of just internet chat meets. And we're like, yeah, we don't know how that happens, but people seem to do it and they flourish at it. Not that we try and be like, hey, so Pete Kelly, how many scallywags did you have for you? it's more so of like, yeah, we'll lead it. It's like, how do you... So navigate, I guess.
Yeah. So first, give us, if you don't mind, like a backstory of what was it like prior to you all meeting each other for your like, were you not even focused on it? Because I know both of you all have, for those of y'all who don't know, Kelly is a very well-known actress. I'm sure all of y'all know her by her face. She's and even before your fame and success, you have been working as a serious actress in the theater. And then the fact that you lived, the bougiest of them all is not Paris, is the fact that you decided, I'm gonna live in Spain and work on a farm.
That was so far from bougie. I mean, we could talk about that. That was far from bougie. I know how it sounds.
And then Pete is a phenomenal director that I personally have gotten to work with twice. So they're both in the Hollywood industry, just to kind of give you a little backdrop on.
Like, yeah, I've said it on some of Pete's classes. I'm like, have no desire to be a director. I'm like watching it like, yeah, I don't think I can grasp any of this. But I'm going to listen anyway. This is intriguing.
Listen.
Yeah.
This is amazing.
Now I'm looking at movies different. Like, that's all messed up. That's not right. Ruining my favorite movies, man.
So, it does change your perspective.
That's funny.
I'm assuming both of you all were focused on your careers, but were you all even thinking about, like, I am still also trying to find that someone that I want to spend the rest of my life with? Take it away.
I mean, I remember one of my friends after, like, I graduated NYU in 99. And one of my good friends graduated a year after me and then moved to Atlanta. And I remember like when Black Planet kind of started taking off, like Black Planet was the community aspect of it. Uh-huh. And then there was like the online red light, you know, aspect of it. And that was kind of like, man, like the ease with which that has facilitated people to connect and mm-hmm. people to be kind of honest, at least about their some people, because I think it's just another ground upon which people could either be direct, which some people are in real life, or as fake as they are in real life. And they, like, just in the curation of their picture and the what they like to say about themselves. Mm-hmm. It's the Chris Rock, like, meet my representative, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, but like, by the time we met, I was definitely aware of like the type of person that I was interested in. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily actively looking for it, but I honestly think that's kind of the combination of like qualities. I don't know if that's quality. I think those two things in tandem, kind of in relationships, are what you kind of need.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're looking for something, you know what that thing might be, you know you're looking for something, you know who that person might be. And I think the third part is you're doing what you want to do that makes you happy. So then you'll hopefully meet someone that you've kind of been looking for while doing what you like and what makes you happy. And then in turn, if they're doing the same thing, then you're kind of gonna have a handshake of like similarity, if that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, we met when I was out here shadowing on TV programs. I shadowed on like 10 different shows. I went through 4 director programs, because it's hard for a black male, female to get a job in television.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like singularly focused on that, knowing that I had a kind of type of person in mind. And I'm shadowing another great director, Nzinga Stewart, on Grey's Anatomy. And then I meet this person here, you know?
So that explains why it might be harder these days. That's what you said is so very new age, to be like, I'm doing what I like to do before I meet. He was doing something kind of like what he liked to do. He didn't know what he wanted to do. You kind of.
Oh, distress. He
disagrees completely. You squish your fingers.
Boy.
There we go.
Oh, buddy.
Go with your brothers, man.
He's like, nope, I want to hear this conversation. You know what? I think that is probably what, because, you know, when people are like, it's just so hard out here. And I'd be like, I have no idea why. But I think because there's a lot of people that are yet to be doing what they want to do that is making them happy. So they're not even ready to even remotely bring anybody into that mess.
Yeah, because we've had a conversation a lot of times, like, where men, we want to be in a specific place before bringing on what it is we want. Like, we know what we want in a woman, we know what we want in life and goals, mm-hmm. and we want to meet that before we add the woman. And to where, as I've matured, and as a lot of men mature, this is like, actually, no, if you know what you want and that's good for you, that woman will only help you to that point, if not shoot you far past that.
Right, because I feel like a lot of my female friends, for themselves, they're like, he could come at any point in time in this journey in my life. I ain't got to be figured out yet. Just show up. What was it like for you just gonna make him mad? Sorry, let me get him quiet so everybody can hear you. You hurt him feeling his toy that was pinching his fingers.
That's what he is.
Okay. So Kelly, go ahead.
You know, we just really share that. It's so much of what Pete said really is true for me too, which is that, I mean, I think for different reasons, I don't think I had, in my 20s, I did want to be loved and love someone, mm-hmm. but I was not very good at multitasking, and I was very focused on my career, mm-hmm. you know? And it wasn't because I thought I needed to be in a certain place in my career before I could meet somebody, but I wasn't trying to be out at night. Because I had to go to yoga in the morning so that I could like be ready for my audition, you know? I just didn't have the frankly, ambition that it takes to really be out in these streets like that. And I wasn't...
it's a job to be in the streets, let me tell you.
Yeah, that's a good word for it.
And it costs a lot of money.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and I lived in Manhattan, and I lived way uptown, and all the interesting people that I might want to meet, the young artists, the young professionals, whatever, they was downtown. And I, you know, after 11 o'clock, that A train was not running express. So I was in the bed, you know, I was at home in the bed, you know, before that A train went local. So, you know, it was just very, I was very focused at that time. On top of which, you know, I did want to do some work on myself before I, you know, I don't know, inflicted myself on somebody.
Never.
I had some work to do. But it's funny because once I started working on Grey's Anatomy, that was the first time in my career that I wasn't looking for a job at the same time that I had a job. Because you know, when you're doing plays, when you're doing guest starring here and there, it's like you're working, but you're still super duper hustling. Now, Grey's allowed me, I just had limitations. Like, I couldn't be out there looking for lots of different jobs. So I had suddenly time for hobbies and, you know, more activism and, you know, meeting people. So that's what I got online. And that was, I mean, as discouraging of an exercise as anything I've ever done in my life.
So you did online dating?
I did.
You did. How was that? Because I got off the scene right before online dating became like a strong like option. And I was willing. I was, when me and him started dating, speed dating was still a thing. I was willing to do speed dating. I was like, that'll be interesting. I mean, now with COVID, I would never do it. But like at that time, at that time, I was like, this sounds really interesting. And we literally started dating the weekend before I was getting ready to try to go to a speed dating event. But
then,
online.
Then her nose just exploded. It was wide open. She didn't know what to do.
I'm going to smack her.
Girl, I done hit the jackpot. I was like, yeah, you did.
He's such an ass. So okay, so you did online. Did you do online dating too, Pete?
I did not. No.
He was like, he's like, I ain't got to do all that.
See, I know. It's like,
you know what we are.
Kelly, bat him down. No. Yeah. So it was just like, you know, look. Oh God. Online dating is racist. You know, there's like these studies about how racist it was, so or racist it is, and so I first of all had very little interest, and you know, whatever, that might not be entirely attributed to racism, but we know that we can attribute some of it to that.
Yes.
And so my experience was like I had a lot of people who were sort of vaguely interested and wanted to be like my pen pal for a little while. Waste my time with all this texting, and and then I would meet people, and I just found that like it just seemed totally inorganic to me, and I didn't really know how to do that sort of. Anybody I'd ever met that I dated before, we met through a shared experience of something. You know, I didn't meet them just to date them, and I never got good at just like meeting a stranger and being like, hey, let's go out on a date, you know. And some people are great at that and love that, and that just, it wasn't for me. But right before I met Pete, I had this epiphany about, you know, frankly, like a new strategy for being in relationship, because I had had enough interactions where I was like, you know, there's one common denominator here about myself that I want to try to, you know, be more conscious of and more mindful of in my interactions with somebody. So when I met Pete, I was like, he'll be an experiment. Let me see what happens. I had no idea that, you know, we would actually really meaningfully connect, but I was like, here's a person that this might be a good trial run on. I would be remiss not to give him my phone number. So let me, as scientific about it.
Right.
And then of course, you know, he turned out to be wonderful.
Yeah, he was like, I'm me. Like, I'll give you
pee. So silly. So let's jump ahead then in you all's relationship. You all got married. Do you say you all got married? Is it because you all believe in the institution of marriage, the concept of two people having a go at it? Is that, or was it more so like, I don't want to go back out into these streets again? Like, I don't want to make an assumption that, yeah, like, no.
Say, well, guess we might as well do this now.
We ain't getting no younger.
Yeah, we ain't getting no younger. Might as well do it.
Yeah. You know, because there is a lot of, I do feel like there's a cynical point of view that exists around marriage that it's not that I don't get it, because when you look at how unsuccessful, he's looking at his daddy, he's like, what you talking about? Here, take him.
Don't be acting no fool with me, boy.
Like, I'm gonna go to sleep. Thank you. There is like a cynical attitude that can sometimes surround marriage, which I get, because most marriages are not successful. So people are like, well, why are we even pretending like this is a thing that we should strive for? But I'm not sure, like, if for you all, was it a thing of like, no, this like, to be with you for the rest of my life feels right? Or was it truly like, you know what? It's more of, this makes sense. Like, this is the next step.
No, I mean, it definitely, for me, you know, was like, this is a remarkable and rare person and experience relationship that we are having together. And, you know, marriage is there to give you sort of a framework through which to continue building on that. Not that you can't do that outside of marriage, but, you know, I had never actually considered marriage before. I thought long-term partnership is super great and weddings are cool and everything, but, you know, that's a down payment on a house, you know, you don't have to do that. You know, when Pete proposed, it was very much like, well, yes, you know, if that's how we want to proceed in this relationship, then I'm willing to do that. Mm-hmm. Not because I feel any societal pressure, you know, nobody was looking. I'm very fortunate in that, like, my parents, neither of them, no grandparent. Actually, that's not true. I did have a grandma who was like, the first of you girls to get married, I'll buy your wedding dress. And asked actually before she could, but apart from that, you know, it was just, you know, we didn't have to, I never really felt that pressure. So it was really a like conscious choice to be like, yes, I would like to marry you. In fact,
not actually, that sounds delish. What about, was it, since Pete, you proposed, what was it like for you? Because like she said, I feel like I know more people now that are like, you know what, just a long-term relationship. It doesn't have to be marriage. It doesn't have to be this social construct. Mm-hmm. For you though, like, what was it like that made you go, let me lock this down?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I wasn't running around myself like, you know, can't wait for the day to get married. But I think that sometimes you enter a situation, and for me it was just like, it feels like, I think this is like where that institution would apply, you know what I'm saying? And I also feel like, you know, to each their own, but I kind of don't get the point of the 40-year girlfriend. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, whatever works for you. But like, and also too, in like legal aspects, there are like things that are, that are not like, that you open yourself up to should something undesirable happen, you know, and unexpected, you know, sometimes that the legality of the acknowledgement of the love and the relationship is an important thing, which is what, I think, you know, gay marriage was often training for, the ability to be recognized as such. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, for me, it was just like, you know what, like, this is, it feels like the right thing here. And I don't know what it is to be married, but we'll figure it out.
Absolutely. Yeah. I feel like it's a blessing to not have that influence or that pressure from, like, you know, a lot of people get it from their family, from their friends. It's like, y'all been together for this long, y'all, because we got it constantly asking, you know, when y'all gonna get married, you know, when you gonna have kids. It's like, it's none of your business. And that's something I never had any problem telling anybody that, whether it was a parent.
I don't think anybody's surprised that you didn't have problems telling anybody's surprised.
But it was one of those, it's like, this is us. And that's what, because of where we're from, like, we're both our families.
From the South.
Yeah, from the South. It's like, that was a benefit for us of living out here, because we didn't have that, like, we weren't immediately around everybody. Right. So we were able to escape, just be us, and not have to worry about what everybody else is saying or doing. You know, they can call and ask, and I'd be like, well, how's the weather? Yeah. Just ignore it all together. It's like, none of your business. Like, don't worry about all of it.
Where y'all from?
I was born in Baltimore, but raised in Kentucky, where he is from.
Yeah, I'm born and raised in Kentucky.
I had to import him. So, Kelly, you're one of the few that I know actually found someone here. I was like, I started dating out here, and I was like, absolutely not. I said, I'm going to go back and pick out something and bring it on back and see if he can survive out here. Let's see. Yeah.
Did you move out here to be together, or did you move out here? Okay. Oh, wow.
Yeah, no. So I was at the time, I was an electrician in Kentucky when we were dating, and she was finishing up grad school. So
out here.
So with her program, she's either got to be here, LA or New York, one of the two. Where me, I could go anywhere and do what I do. So, and I wasn't with the company or anything where it's like, oh, no, I'm in it for the long run with these people. I got to stay here. I'm like, no, I'll move out there and see what's up.
Yeah. I made it very clear. I was like, so you know I'm not ever coming back here to live. So this is, like, our long distance dating is long distance, but it'll never be, you know, close distance, because I have relocated back to Kentucky. That's never going to happen.
And at the time I was thinking, like, I can have a coastal boo. I'm good with that. but she wasn't, because at the same time, it's like, when we first started dating, it wasn't like, her mind was always like on like the 5 and 10 year plan, and mine was just like, all right, yeah, we're gonna start dating and we're gonna be dating. We'll see where that goes. You know?
Marcus would have definitely been somebody with a 20-year girlfriend. It just been fine. Like, yeah, you ain't complaining.
It took persuasion, a couple of threats.
I was like, what I'm not about to do, let me tell you what, this is what I'm not about to do.
So, Angel, would you have liked to have the pressure, a little more family pressure for him?
I know he won't listen to them. I knew he just needed it from me. He needed to know that I would have, listen, sir. I was about to do some speed dating. I don't know what I might have found around them tables. So listen, they still got another match coming up.
A lot of people are like, well, go try it out. Make sure you call me when you're done, though.
Like, you're coming back here. Yeah. So what is it like to be married now? You all are newlyweds. You just celebrated your 1 year anniversary. So you all still got that, y'all still got the shine on y'all.
Because I feel like y'all like shiny. Entered the married game like as goals. Right. Like, it's like,
you are everybody like, else's goals. Yeah, it's like, single,
that's
like
what I'm trying to get. But y'all been together for 25 years, but I'm trying to get there though.
So what is it like? Is it, you know, I'm not going to even put any ideas in your head. What is it like?
You know, it's funny. It's projects, right? Like I always think about how, planning our wedding was such a fun experience, and I you hear that that's not really true for a lot of people, but like, you know, a long time ago, my sister passed down some wisdom that she got from, like a friend's mom or something, where it was like, marriage you work on something together. You know, you have to sort of like have a mission. So for some people it's a business, for some people it's a family, for this or that. And planning our wedding was the first like project that we did together. And, you know, we made early on, we couldn't keep it up the whole time. But in the beginning, we made a Sunday date and we took ourselves to like a nice hotel and, and sat outside with our iPad and some champagne and like made our spreadsheets and did our Pinterest boards together.
Oh,
and
bougie like, black people. Oh, I love it. I love it.
And, you know, it sort of set the foundation for, I think, you know, all future projects that we embark upon together to be like, we know how to do this. We know how to do even challenging, stressful stuff together in a way that is fun and supportive and has lightness and communication and real, you know, conflicts, not avoidance, what's the word?
Resolution.
Conflict resolution, yes. Like conflict, yeah, just avoidance, really. You know, not pushing each other's buttons and things like that. And so, you know.
It was like doing an episode of TV.
Whole time, he was like, just direct.
This marriage. This marriage is brought to you by the director. And so ongoingly, you know, I feel like, you know, it's, for me, in my head, it's the same thing. It's like, you know, I don't think about it ever consciously all the time, but it's like dinner tonight. We do, we're going to make it together and sit down together. And, you know, he wrote a short film recently and he invited me to be a consultant. We learned how to be creative together in that way. We're, you know, working on a real estate project together. So, you know, it's like, it feels like there's so many ways to enter into this partnership. And
well, I think kind of what's underneath all of that is that it is, you know, probably the biggest business decision you'll ever make.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know what I mean? While also being a personal decision and a spiritual decision and whatever else may come with it, it is the most important partnership that you're gonna have. Mm-hmm. Because you can't just fire somebody, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you also don't go home from the job, you know what I'm saying? And so it really is, I think, like, if people applied that much, you know, because a lot of time, like, folks who you kind of talk to about their relationships, like, I don't want to turn people into robots, but they'll run through these emotional breakdowns of things. And then you'd be like, yeah, but you see, that don't make no sense though, right? Like, like, why would you, if somebody did that to you at your job, you'd be like, I don't want to be on their team, or they're fired, or I'm gonna go get a new job. But in this world, you find a way to rationalize it and say, but.
Right.
And then disregard the prior half hour of complaining you just went through. You know, and I think you know, open eyes and stepping into it with really assessing yourself and then your partner, and then like having, you know, it's like, if you're not moving toward the same goal, like, that doesn't work anywhere, man. If you if I'm trying to throw, you know, Hail Marys and y'all just want to run the ball, like, somebody got to get traded.
And that's, I think that sports metaphors, I mean, they're always good. They're often good. But, you know, we are on the same team. That's what marriage is like. That's what it concretizes for me. You know, that's, it's cool, like, bro. It concretizes it, baby. Makes it concrete.
See, that's what she be killing folk on Instagram. She be throwing words like that.
I'm writing these down. I'm not spelling them right, but I'm going to be using these all next week.
I never heard that conjugation of concrete.
Well, stick with me then.
Okay.
No, but it's like, this is, you always remember that you are on the same team, and we're moving together toward our goals together. I'm helping support him on the way to his goals. He's helping support me on the way to my goals. And anytime there's, you know, static or friction or a breakdown in communication, it's like, don't forget now.
Call a timeout.
Yeah, we're on the same team.
Yeah.
Same team. You know, and Pete is so good at always reminding me of that personally, because I do get into, you know, I'll go into like combat mode, and he'll be like, do you know that I'm what I'm saying is supporting you. Like, you don't have to immediately be on the defensive. It's like, that's right. This is this is why we are married, you know, because yeah. mm-hmm. we are agreeing to go through this life together with love and support. So
I think it's so interesting because, like, to hear you all say, we've literally said like a lot of the same exact things. It's like people ask us all the time, they see us, it's because, you know, I guess we have a lot of younger followers. It's like, you know, we trying to get with you all, you know, 13 years, you guys seem like you still have fun. It's like, well, one, you have to like the person. Two, it's not just about all the fictional, whatever, you know, and all the vain reasons that you may initially end up dating, maybe, but you actually have to like that person. Mm-hmm. It's yes. a partnership. It is a business contract. It is knowing your weak points and your strong points and knowing theirs and knowing when the one person should step up over the other. And it's like the successful and sought after relationships, like which you may want to image yours after, they all sound the same as the ones that are failures. And it's like, you know, it's like all similar. It's like this and that didn't work. And y'all all kind of talk the same, but these seem very,
oh, okay. You know, I get what you're saying. Yeah. The successful and the non-successful yeah. sound alike in their groups.
Yeah.
I literally was just, I was talking to,
yeah, see, I couldn't articulate that.
I was like, okay.
Yeah.
I was drawing the visual and I was like, oh, okay, I need to scoot that over there. Yeah. Now I know what he's saying. I got it now.
Everybody's like, bless his heart, he's figuring it out.
I was literally saying on a live yesterday where we were, I don't use the term soulmates, I use purpose mates. And they were asking me mm. why? Because for me, it gives me an action inside of my marriage. Soulmates makes it feel like there's this other thing that is tying us together, where if that was the case, then why does it come untied for so many people? Where when I use purpose mates, because it gives me an action. Even if we're not getting along for some reason, I know my action as his wife is to help him in his purpose. He knows his action as my husband is to help me in my purpose. And we can get through whatever conflict we're going through. Mm-hmm. We'll eventually start vibing again. But even if the vibe dwindles for a little bit because of whatever, whether it be outside stress, whether it just be I had a baby and my emotions or my hormones ain't where they supposed to be at yet, I still know that I have agreed to 100% whatever that purpose is in your life, fully support it and help you get there and vice versa. Mm-hmm.
I love that framing. Yes, because being a soulmate seems so kind of like ethereal and yes. like you just yeah. can't really put your finger on it, but you gotta be able to put your finger on something. Because, you know, it's day to day. When people say it's work, that's the work. You have to know what the job is.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
It doesn't mean like, oh, it's a struggle. Although sometimes surely it can be, you know, right. but it means that like it's active, you know, yeah. the way that you love each other and support each other is an active. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
I feel like it's part of that fairy tale thing. It's like, you know, everything's not going to be perfect. Mm-hmm. And that's where that true partnership and that love comes into play. It's like, yeah, when almost it's easy in the easy times.
Yeah.
It's when it's difficult, simple. You need to be able to work through it. And it's like a lot of people, they hit that one obstacle is like maybe 20 years later, they still are struggling with that one obstacle and ends up, you know, you hear about people getting a divorce after however many, you know, decades they've been married. Like, how does that happen? Could have been something from the very beginning that they never learned to work through.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. What something that y'all hit on that I really, I liked was when you said, Pete has to sometimes be like, whoa, you know, I'm on your team, right? Like I did not all of a sudden switch sides. We are not now competitors. Mm-hmm. How long did it take you all to like understand that? Because I do think that sometimes can be the most difficult, especially like Marcus loves to call me stubborn. I mean, he might be a little right. So sometimes, sometimes when he's on the opposite side of my idea, it can feel like, okay, so you just yeah. ain't, you ain't with me, where it's not that his point of view of what that is in opposition to my point of view is in opposition to me. He's just trying to offer me a perspective that might be maybe truer, maybe not. He might be wrong, but still it is sometimes yeah. hard to separate. It's just like, oh, so now you my enemy. Now we can't.
Right, you're taking it personally.
Yes.
As a correction or something, yes.
How long did it take for you all to be able to like, figure that out of like, or like Pete, that you had to be like, okay, I see what you think is happening in this moment, but here's actually what I'm trying to do.
Right. I mean, I feel like I've carried that through my life, because I look at things for myself. I'd be like, okay, what's happening here? Okay, how can I change that? Or what was my part in that? Mm-hmm. You know, how could I have, done some Jedi mind trick to have a different result? And so I often, when people share whatever thing is going on with them, I'm often like, here's what you should do, right? And uh-huh. And know that
very good at giving advice.
And I think that, you know, I know that that's not what everybody wants to hear, because sometimes people just want to give voice to their
They want to vent.
Yeah,
you know, they want to vent. And so I think it's kind of learning, you know, learning what that gas clutch equilibrium is, you know what I'm saying? And then also
that's a good analogy.
Yeah.
and then also being like, yo, so do you want to hear like some real shit, or do you want to just talk? Because if you just want to just talk, I just sit here and drink this bourbon. Yeah. You know what I mean? But like, if you want to like have a conversation about it, I got thoughts.
Right.
And kind of like, you know, and so part of it is like assessing yourself, and then kind of learning to kind of, asking, right? Like, what are you looking for in this moment, versus like trying to always be the deliverer of solutions.
Right.
A lot of times, you know, like at least for me, a lot of times Angel realizes that if I come in with an issue, if it's an outside issue, it's like I feel a certain way and I'm mad, I just need you to be mad with me for a second. Like, let me dwell in this, let me simmer, and let me get it out. Because otherwise, you know, I'm not good at just, all right, let me go meditate, let it go. No, it's going to stay in there until I get rid of it.
I have to be like, they did what?
Like, can you believe
this? I'd be like, no, that's some bull. Well, in my mind, I have a solution in the back of my head that wants to shoot out.
And I know this now. Like, maybe within the past, I don't know, 3 years, I discovered, like, yeah, just let me dwell in it. I realize it may take me a day to realize, all right, Marcus, I probably shouldn't have said that. Probably shouldn't have grabbed a woman like that. Just joking. I ain't grabbed nobody. But at the same time, it's like, all right, I know how I am. Like, Kelly, you were saying, you know, you just kind of go there. It's like, I know how I am. And I know, all right, just let me just get through. Just let me be here for a second before we take a step back and start playing chess again. Cause right now I'm like, checkers, let me just go do this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, then the next day I'm like, all right, so what we need to do? What do I need to do? What's your thoughts on this?
What were your real thoughts on this? I'm like, great. I had time to take notes. Let's go through it. So you guys,
I can answer this question on two levels, actually. Mm-hmm. And the first is like the more superficial level, which is that, you know, he will ask me, you know, do you want to hear it? And I will be like, actually, no, I do not at the moment.
I do not.
You know, I don't really want to hear it right now. Give me a minute. And maybe I'll come back to it. But, you know, on a really, now I feel very vulnerable, but I think I also learned early on in our relationship that when I knew that he like really knew how to love me, and or he is just a loving person and non-judgmental, was when I finally was able to like go, oh my God, I'm so used to being criticized. Because like that's sort of, you know, that was our family style. I'll just put it that way. A lot of criticism. And judgment. And I'll never forget, I had a friend in my 20s, a roommate, who was just like, and I would do the same thing as Pete and just be like, well, I mean, here's what you can do better next time. And we're not like a robot, like problem solving mode. I mean, not that you're a robot problem solver, but that's how I was. Mm-hmm. And he once said to me, like, can't you just be on my side? Mm-hmm. And, you know, Pete made it very clear early on, like, he was like, I'm on your side. I'm not judging you for this problem that you're having or, you know, this issue, whatever. But I can offer you an objective, or maybe not objective, but like I can offer you a perspective.
Yeah.
And that does not, it's not criticism. It's not, and it's so, I heard him say that, and I did understand that intellectually, but I do still have to, I know it more and more as time goes on. I know it in my spirit more and more that like, okay, I don't have to, like, this doesn't mean that I was bad at that thing. This doesn't mean that I failed at that thing. It just means that like, here's another way of looking at it, and here's what I can take to the next experience, the lesson or whatever. So, so, you know, it's ongoing for me is the answer.
Yeah. I don't think it ever stops. Like, I think it's part of, like we said recently, it's like the person I am today is not who she married.
Yeah.
And it's like learning and growing together and figuring that out. It's like I have learned probably over the past 3, maybe 4 years, maybe over the last 5 years, gradually have learned how to love her more and better. To be more open. I know it's a lot of things a lot of men suffer from. They don't know how to express their feelings. Mm-hmm. And being that angel, that seems to be sometimes all she does. And it's like, to with me, I stopped fighting it. It's just like, yeah, it'll be much easier for me to get past these emotions or get past this situation if I just try to say what is going on in here instead of trying to figure it out for myself.
Yeah. Because I don't emote. I express my emotions, but I don't emote. I will articulate my emotions long before I actually like show them. I am mad before you like really get to see me act out in my madness. So yeah, it was nice to be able to have, well, no, Marcus will show his emotions, but he then
I'll show it before I even realize it. Like, oh, I guess I am mad.
I'll be like, yeah,
dude. Do I?
I'm like, yeah, you got an attitude.
Oh, I guess I do.
Well, Kelly and Pete, y'all have been such a blessing. And I will say, I'll speak for Marcus, but you can add to it. You all's relationship from the outside looking in is kind of like what we would have wanted to have been doing, and then we just kept getting pregnant. So it's nice to see a couple that's just out here just taking on the world and traveling and doing beautiful bougie things without, you know, the only y'all got the dog, so I get that, but we have to say that even though you all are new to marriage, you all are in a way goals, like the love that you all display.
Yeah, this that I think is that what I've just in this short conversation and just be around you guys, it's that level of intelligence that's making you excel to like making this marriage thing look like, no, they had to be been together for a bunch of years to figure this figure this much out in this short amount of time.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
It's like a true puzzle piece.
Yeah,
you know, which is because the things that you all are saying that you've been through is like I said, we 16 years and over the last 5, I figured
this stuff out. That's where we figured this stuff out.
And y'all figured it out in like 3 conversations. Like, well, you know, we could just do as you write. You know, it's like.
But y'all did it on the job. You know what I mean? Like y'all had on the job training. Yeah. We was unemployed figuring it out. So then we finally got the job. We were like, I've been reading.
I'm ready.
That's a good one.
I read the books.
You guys are such an inspiration because overall, the length of time that you've been married, 4 children, y'all still have fun together. Y'all like enjoy being in each other's company and clearly have dreams and ambitions for your future, and y'all can't be stopped. And it's just, you truly are goals for us too. And, you know, knowing that like, hearing you describe and also seeing like just how much the love deepens over time gives us so much to look forward to. Thank you for being out there in the space doing what you're doing.
Thank you. So I am sure you all already knew a lot about them, but I still want everybody to know where they can follow you. And I know Pete has a podcast as well. So if you all wouldn't mind just spitting off all your like social media where people can follow your, especially projects that you all are doing independent of what people know you all like for, please.
I am on Instagram at C as in like view, S-E-E, Kelly McCreary, and on Twitter at Kelly McCreary. I produced a film 2 summers ago, actually, that's available online. It's called A Cohort of Guests, that you might like to check out. And A Cohort of Guests.com. And take it away, husband.
So what's up? You could check out me. That's not well said. PeteChatmon.com, PeteChatmon. That's my Instagram handle and Twitter. But for the podcast, you can get there via PeteChatmon.com if you go to my production company site, or you can go to director.video, but that's director with no vowels. So DRCTR.video. And we're dropping the podcast on Wednesday with a brother and friend of mine who wrote, who writes on Billions, B.O. Travers. And then check out Blackish episode 412, where I got to direct Angel. And then Atypical episode 208.
Thank you. That's amazing.
Where we did that as well. So
yes, definitely check both out. You are such a great director. I hope you know that. Like, you're one of, I've gotten to work with a lot, but I love your style. Pete will have you thinking you really know what you're doing.
Too kind. Y'all just make me look good. I just show up and be like, good thing.
Do your thing. So as you all already know, you can follow this podcast on Is This Going to Cause an Argument on Instagram as well as on Facebook. Please make sure you rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. It makes us more discoverable. You can follow me at That Chick Angel across all platforms. And you can follow Marcus at
Marcus Ain't on the Gram on Instagram and Marcus Ain't on the Book on Facebook.
And then
you can find my beard and body butter. It's 100% natural beard and body butter called Man Shit. That's M-A-N-S-H-Y-T at manshit.com. And you can go to the Instagram page at Get Man Shit to see all 4 posts that I put up there. But
All four
of them. But anyway, that's, you can find.
You get it. But we will be back next Wednesday with another episode of Is This Going to Cause an Argument? Again, we want to thank our guests, Kelly and Pete. And we all will see you next time.
Absolutely.
Bye.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Amber's drawings might be.
You have to promise not to freak out.
You're not an evil person just because you drew pictures.
Amber drew that?
What in the...
Sketch. In theaters August 6th. Get your tickets now at angel.com/sketch.